Good morning, everybody. We are joined, thankfully, by our head sport performance coach, Jake Turner, for episode 4 of Brewing with the Bears. Sponsored, gratefully, by Shelburne Falls Coffee. And what's your coffee of the day here?
It's a medium roast black.
Nice.
Like I was telling you before, like I like black during the week, keeps me focused, keeps me on task, and then on the weekends, then I dress it up a little bit.
But that's awesome.
Black during the week, it's Friday.
Yeah, same thing, and then decaf after 3.
Yes.
So, thanks for joining us, really appreciate it, and Jake, you've been here for a decade now, and which we're all very fortunate about, or for. What was your journey like to get to Smith? Like, what was, how did you land here in the Pioneer Valley?
So I was right before here, I was at the University of Portland, in Oregon. And I was just kind of looking for, you know, the next step, my next, you know, next opportunity, and, saw that there was a head position open. I really wasn't, you know, I wasn't scared of the head position. I feel like a lot of, like, yeah, because I was young when I got here. I feel like a lot of young strength coaches or coaches in general can shy away from that kind of thing. But I had really good mentors when I was a graduate assistant in Austin Peay, Nick Honzik, and then my two mentors at Portland, Brad Scott and Cat Wade. Like, I feel like just prepared the heck out of me. I was like, this seems like a pretty good opportunity, and I knew that Division III was kind of the next frontier for strength and conditioning. There was a lot of serious Division III schools that were starting to kind of pick up the position and really invest in it. And so I applied, and then reached out to Kristen and Bonnie just kind of as a follow-up, like, hey, I applied, I'm interested. And I don't know if many people know this, but they were coming out to Portland for the Haverford talks after I emailed. They were like on the plane and then emailed me, and they were like, we're going to be in town. So we went and got breakfast. And I remember, you know, like, I was looking for my next spot, so like I had been through a couple of interview processes before then, and we went to get breakfast. And normally when you, like, you're kind of nervous for these things, and you're like, oh, should I get a breakfast? I got the full breakfast. They didn't. I just ate, and they asked me questions, and I chowed down, and they liked me enough to bring me on campus, and I met these guys, and it worked
and
out.
I came anyway.
But yeah, I got the job offer. That's awesome. Probably the next week, and was out here a couple weeks later. So.
That's great. Well, we are so fortunate to have you. And
thank you.
I have to say, we spoke about this a little bit earlier, but I think about, this is my fourth year here, about sort of what my pleasant surprise was about Smith. And the first, there have been a lot of them, but the first one was, I was really curious to know, like, I haven't come from Division I, and what the strength and conditioning program was like, what the culture was like. And I was just blown away by what we offer, and specifically what you've put together.
Thank
and how you.
You
work with your GAs. Did you have any kind of a pleasant surprise about Smith College coming in? You know, been your first excursion into D3.
Yeah, well, I think about it often, and I don't know, like, it was, I'd probably have to say, like, I didn't know what to expect, but, like, just how good of a job and how good at her job and how serious she takes everything is Kristen Hughes. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean,
the X factor. I think.
Yeah, it is. Okay. I feel like she is. I really, you know, can't say it enough, because, you know, I've been at a few other places, and I don't know. She's really involved with us. She makes sure we have what we need. She, like, I mean, they all, I feel like a lot of ADs say they want to win, but I feel like Kristen does what it takes to. She wants to make sure we all have what we need to be successful. Doors open, you can go in there and talk to her right after this if you want to. So I just feel like that might be the pleasant surprise. I'm not sure what I was expecting, but that stood out.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Pretty much immediately.
Yeah,
so.
And what a difference that makes to have someone who's such an advocate and practices what she preaches too. So how did you get into strength and conditioning?
Like, wow.
How did your journey, you know, unfold?
So it kind of started when I was in high school. So I played basketball from like 9 to about 16, and I burned out pretty bad when I was 16. I was like, didn't want to play anymore, but I had, so like 2 more years of high school, like, what do I do with myself? So I like started getting like really cracked down on the books, but then I started going to the gym like 2 to 4 times a week after school. And my best friend was on the football team as a defensive lineman. He was trying to get better at being a defensive lineman, and he was also doing like scouting combines, these like showcases and things. So, so some days he would come with me, and I would put together workouts for that to help him get better at being a defensive lineman. So. That's when I was like, this is exactly what I want to do. So I kind of looked up what the profession was because, I mean, you kind of know that it's there, but you're like, where is it? Is it in college? Is it in high school?
Yeah,
like
so
those
true.
Things. But I found what I was looking for. I knew basically I wanted to be a strength coach since I was 16. And kind of took off from there. I interned all 4 years of my undergrad at Middle Tennessee State. Went to Austin Peay for my grad school for a year, then Portland, and then here. So, but I knew since basically a teenager is what I wanted to do. But training people and being in the gym myself is what really like solidified it for me. You know, like I thought about maybe being a basketball coach, but I really want to be involved in all the sports.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing. You are involved in all the sports, mm-hmm. You know, I was thinking about as I was preparing for this, like what fuels you
mm-hmm.
to do this and. It sounds like you at least had the seeds of that, if not mm-hmm. the full-on discovery of it, as a teenager, which is pretty cool.
I mean,
to
just
to pursue something like that—that's
right.
You know, you have a passion for.
Yeah.
And has it stayed that way? Is that what fuels you still?
Yeah, like the development. Like I love getting. I tell the coaches, I tell you guys this all the time. I love getting those firsties in here, teaching them their way around, and then watching them grow over the next 4 years and. I love seeing them grow in there. I love seeing them grow out there. It definitely is a people thing. And I like is the people aspect and the teaching and the growth. That's really what I'm in it for. And it hasn't waned, you know, like it can be like we can work long hours and get tough. We all work the hours and it's not always easy, but it always like it's easy to get up in the morning to come do that with the squad. Even though we're all in there sleepy, we're all in there. We're going to get the work done. So,
you know.
Yeah.
It's a rite of passage that you relive every day.
Yes.
But I love that approach that you mm-hmm. have to it because you do see things in a very holistic way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's I think that sets you apart.
Thank you.
I think the best strength coaches that I've had the chance to work mm-hmm. with have that passion for the growth and development of their student athletes
mm-hmm.
In a very holistic way, out on the field or court or in the pool mm-hmm. or whatever it might be, but then as human beings
mm-hmm.
and looking for them to just get better and so on. You have a phenomenal approach to that.
Thank you.
So along the way, you've probably seen or you have seen like different technologies
mm-hmm.
come in, go out, you know, things come in that are really helping
mm-hmm.
you with what you do. What are some of the things that you've incorporated here into our programming
mm-hmm.
and what you're looking to do
when you
kind of go big picture with it.
Yeah. I think the first thing that we use with everybody is the Team Builder app. And I know it's just kind of on a base level. It's how we give the programming.
Such a good platform, though.
Yeah. And
it's a good starting point.
And kind of the big things there are is it keeps all the programming in one place. They don't have packets anymore. When they go away from the summer, they have videos they can reference because we're not, you know, expecting them to be professional weightlifting experts like we are. So that's really changed the game. But it also has some pieces in there where we can really dig into the load that we're prescribing. We can do questionnaires in there, which has been massive. When I first got here, I was doing questionnaires through Google Docs and Google Sheets and surveys.
All over the place.
And then we would have to copy and paste data in a bunch of different places and break them down. But now the Team Builder does that. It makes it pretty easy and makes it easier for us to send to you if that's what would help. But the big thing right now that we have a couple of teams on, yours included, is the First Beat software, mm-hmm. which is a heart rate monitoring software, and equipment. And it helps us do a couple of things. One is, manage their fatigue. So, there's a couple of different metrics we can use, but we can kind of see like how tough was this game compared to that game, this practice compared to that practice, the fatigue built up over time. Is it time to rest? Has it been too high for too long? And like HRV, heart rate variability, and their ability to recover, we can see all those things just simply through heart rate. And it also allows us to monitor the training, not necessarily from a like overall fatigue standpoint, but are we giving the load we think we are? Do we want to give a higher load? Are we even sometimes will program loads based off of it. So I know right now your team has some conditioning they'll do in the week, kind of some quick work, but Ray's able to go back and look at the heart rate data and figure out if it gave what you wanted to give. Taylor with lacrosse built a whole phase, 5-6 weeks, based off of what they wanted to see out of the heart rate data. So those are kind of the two major pieces of it, and it kind of connects a lot of dots for us. Not only helps us answer some questions, but helps us ask the right questions as well. It can be a game changer. So
yeah,
those are two
really
things
we're
in right now.
And I appreciate working with you guys, Ray, this year, and the other GAs I've had under your tutelage about, you know, there's times when somebody needs, like, the recovery day and then partially a second modified practice the second day. And it really helps keep people out on the field and
feeling good,
continuing to develop. So that's been fantastic, and your support of that, and and your help with, you know, with my limited understanding of these things.
That's fine.
Puts it in simple terms for me, and I go, okay, so she needs to sit out for a little longer. We're good. One of the things that you've done, I think, is there's a culture in the room always. Can you talk about that a little bit, and what you want things to look like when you have a team in there, or an individual, or, you know, just what your approach is to the culture of not just what you're doing, but how you want the feeling in the room to be when teams and athletes are working out?
I think it boils down to just the culture of, I say effort, but it's like trying your best. Like, that's kind of what we'll teach the thing top down. We'll teach it week to week, even day to day if we need to, but it's what we kind of want to see out of kids is them giving it a real shot, giving all they have. And that's different than being worried or it being new and having done it before. We're there to encourage you, but like having a culture of supporting each other, you know, and the team supporting each other, and you and just the effort of it, and being coachable, and trying, giving us all you have, whether that's conditioning, whether that's testing, whether that's lifting. You know, I think kind of a story that kind of comes to mind is like whenever we'll do like an AMRAP test. So in as many as reps as possible set, sometimes we'll do that for max testing. Or maybe even outside of that. I've been in team settings where like where a kid goes up and like goes down, like in a squat, goes down, starts to come up and then fails, and they put it on the rack and they're fine. But the team cheers for them.
Because they gave it
all they had. So, you know, just that's kind of what I like to see. And we're in there. I mean, we're in there to train. It's serious, but we'll have a good time too. I'll come and kind of ask you how your day is and chat you up a little bit. Maybe too much sometimes, but it's a good time. So
that's good. No, I think that's so important too. I think it's important for athletes generally to understand there can be like a moment of some levity, and you can still get right back after it again. Like, it's kind of a nice way to do it. It doesn't have to be mutually exclusive. I think that's where the magic happens, and that's where you, like, our student athletes point to how you do things, and they all know to a person that you care about what they're doing, and that permeates and is consistent with your grad assistants too. So talk about that program and how our assistants largely are graduate assistants, and how that is, how you navigate that, and how you develop those folks as well, and a little bit about what your coaching tree is like, because people come here because of you.
Yeah. All right, where do I start, man? I've had a lot of, all of them have been really good who have come through here. I guess it kind of starts from the recruiting standpoint. Like, you know, I do a nationwide search. We put it on all the major things, and we usually get a pretty good amount of interest. So I have a pretty good pool to choose from. And we do a couple different interviews. It's kind of one of the initial get to know you, and then we'll do kind of an interview about where I ask them about a program that they put together for a team that I've assigned. So we talk about programming. Then they'll talk to the GAs that are currently on staff to kind of get a feel for them as well. So, you know, we vet them from the beginning. But when they get here, it's really just a true culture of growth and learning. So they have three, four teams to themselves, usually about three to themselves. They program for them, they condition, they lift them, they're in there, they meet with you guys, they run the lifts, they run the conditioning, they run the speed, everything that they operate in the same capacity as an assistant strength coach would be. And we talk about it pretty often, formally and informally, just kind of things that they may need help on. Usually in the second year, they hit the ground sprinting, like they know exactly what they want to do. But it's just, I don't know. And then like when we talk, it's like I let them know, like it's fine to mess up. Usually when they mess up, it's not big enough for people to notice. But even if it is, like this is a learning space. It's fine to mess up, but just, you know, try not to. But it's fine if you do. We'll learn from it and we'll talk about it. We'll get better. And I think that's the thing that when they are graduating looking for a job sets them apart from other grad assistantships. And I attribute that to my grad assistantship. When I was at Austin Peay, I had three teams to myself and the guidance of my under the guidance of my director. And I think that made me 200% a better coach, like in that 1 year. It changed the game for me. So.
Yeah, you can see it in the in the folks that you bring in, and they're open to ideas. They're willing to bring ideas forward. Like Ray's working with us, like you said, on some conditioning things, and we've met, and like she's like into it. She's done the research.
She's having fun.
Got them doing like I asked her to just shift something, and like she was spot on with it. But that's also because, you know, you make them feel comfortable that this is a learning experience, and. Yeah, come on out and let's do this. Yeah. And I really think that's a special thing. And the fact that our GAs, they're so well prepared when they go out because they're not just always just whatever.
Yeah, I mean, they're getting.
They're not always just cleaning equipment and setting up homes, right?
Sitting,
So what other, what sports, like do you follow any sports? Do you watch sports? Like what's your, I know you watch the sports here. I mean, that's something that's. Like to be right here to be able to go, you know, watch things. What's your jam on these things?
I had a few of them, I guess. Yeah. I mean, like I said, I got into it to work in multiple sports. Yeah. But, I mean, obviously, like I grew up, you know, in Tennessee. A lot of my family's from Arkansas. We're kind of born into watching football, SEC football. So, like, literally born into it.
Not a bad way to start it.
Yeah.
Obviously, the bar high.
Right. I set it pretty high. Obviously, and then like basketball kind of is twofold with that. The SEC football that you're born into, you're born watching basketball as well, and I played basketball. But over the past few years, like I've kind of started to watch, I guess I won't say past few years, I guess around senior year, junior year, senior year of undergrad, I started to watch baseball quite a bit more. And with that, softball quite a bit more and learn a lot about those games. And I like that, that was a while ago now. We're looking like 12, 13 years, but I've really kind of fallen in love with those sports. Like I don't know how to describe it. I kind of describe it as like it's power and accuracy all in one. I love it. And then I'm trying to get a little bit more into hockey. Like it's big. It's actually like the Predators in Nashville have been big for a while. So I'm trying to get a little bit more into that. You know, Kate's at Delaware with women's hockey, so I'm trying
to
watch
some hockey in person.
Yeah, we went and watched the my daughter's school had like elementary night, we went and watched the Thunderbirds, and
that's because like, watching hockey in person or any of it, it's just kind
of a different game.
Switch in a different way.
I've been paying a lot of attention to the Nashville FC. This past, they just won MLS the other night. So trying to get into a little more, and then I've been really into F1 a lot the past few years.
What excites you about that? What kind of draws you to it?
It's interesting you ask that because
a lot of technology in F1 too.
I think because like I guess I relate it to, so a lot of times when you talk to strength coaches or performance professionals, they will relate an athlete to a car a lot. So they'll talk about fuel tanks, they'll talk about like we will talk about doing conditioning so you have a bigger fuel tank or you become more powerful.
And
the cars have engines and powertrains, they use fuel. So like I think what intrigues me a lot about it is the engineering. They're always trying to make these cars quicker somehow, whether that's aerodynamics, whether that is engine power, whether that's fuel dynamics, whether that's electronics here and there. So much like they're trying to tweak a engineer a car to be faster, we're always trying to engineer athletes to find the edge, find the cutting edge. We're trying to engineer athletes to be bigger, faster, stronger, and better. So I think that's what really
does
it for me.
Yeah. No, this has been phenomenal. Like, I love what you do. I admire what
you
do. And I feel fortunate to get the chance to work with you day in and day out. So thanks for joining me with this and joining us. Thanks again to Shelburne for the good cup of joe, to Ciara for setting all of
this
up.
Thank you.
And see you all the next time. Go Bears.
Go Bears.